Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
No gravy today. No sprinkles. Just cake and icing. No sprinkles. Nothing extra. It's still a serious win. Still a lot of good that happened this weekend. And even a great performance on the mound today from Logan Henderson. But that's really the end of the compliments of today's game. The Brewers fall 3-2 to the Nationals. I'm Dominic Cotroneo with Jerry Augustine. You know, Augie, we'll give Logan plenty of flowers because I thought he pitched great today. But today was just a dud, man. I just sat here and was watching this game, and I'm trying to think about what to talk about. Brandon Lockridge had two hits. One of the other hits for the Brewers today, they had four hits total. One of the other ones was aided by a sun ball getting dropped. I mean, it was a dud, and they had a flat game, and it happens, and it's on to St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, it's you look at the game and you see the way Logan is pitching the ball. Really could have been through another inning without giving up any runs. The misfortune of slipping on the mound and then them being able to score the two runs in the fifth inning like they did. But you know, he threw the ball so well. He pitched the ball so well. You're just knowing the way he's pitched the ball, you're just waiting for something to erupt from this Brewers offense, something we were waiting for. But, you know, this is one thing we're seeing out of a young team that's rebuilding. This national team's got a lot of young ball players. Not only do you look at the guys that they put on the field, but I'm going to tell you what, today I thought when you take a game like today, I think a lot of credit goes to the management, the way he managed the ball club game today. He allowed the game to that Poland going for the two innings. He brought in Littell. Littell did just a good job after he's been struggling his last four outings. And Parker came in and did exactly what you. Up and down, what they had to do from a pitching standpoint, I'll tell you what, I thought the Nationals did a great job today. And they're just able to manufacture a couple runs, enough to win, even though the Brewers had that chance in the ninth inning. But I give some credit, Logan, give some credit to Logan Henderson for the way he kept him in the ballgame. But I'll tell you what, the national pitching staff, I thought, really did a nice job today.
Yeah, it's really hard when you're facing a new arm pretty much every inning. And that's what Blake Butera had for his game plan today for the Nationals. He has an off day tomorrow. He has one of the worst ERAs scheduled to pitch today in Zach Littell. He said, I don't have to rely on Zach Littell to give me length. He got the two innings that he wanted out of P.J. Poulin. He got Littell into four innings of work for him. And honestly, the big guy that saved this game for them was Mitchell Parker, the lefty in the middle of this game, going six up and six down against a handful of lefties in this game when the Nats had taken a 3-2 lead. That was the moment I thought this game went in the wrong direction for the Brewers, that he came in for Bowers, left on left, got Mitchell, left on left, got Frelick, got Hamilton, you know, four left-handed batters out of the six that he faced. And it's an issue of lineup construction and what the roster is dealing with right now whenever they face a lefty. And kudos to Blake Butera for calling it out and, putting a spotlight on it. But the simplest point of today's game, I know Gary had that hit in the ninth inning and Jake Bowers had a hit in the ninth inning. That was a clean single through the right side. Gary's was a sun ball aided ball, but combined one through five in the order went just 1-for-15 with a walk, or excuse me, 2-for-15 with a walk and two singles. Just not going to cut it when your top four hitters, even if Terang was in there, just not going to cut it for today's just about a poor day from the offense.
Yeah, I agree. I tell the offense, they were kept off stride. I thought, you know, in watching Littell, the way he pitched against the Brewers last time and the way he threw the ball this time, he really stayed and tried getting ahead of hitters, and he really put the ball on the outside parts of the plate, making it difficult, changing speed. I thought he did a nice job, but I thought Parker was very Harrison, like we had with the Brewers yesterday, very Harrison-like, aggressive in strike zone, making the big pitches, keeping the ball down. When he went with his breaking ball, he kept those in good locations, and I agree with you. I think a real key to this ball game, even though it was a little bit later in the ball game, getting into that sixth and seventh inning, was Parker coming in the ball game and really slamming the door and taking anything that the Brewers could try to accomplish, just taking it and wiping it out. I thought he did a great job. And you just got to give credit where credit is due sometimes. And this is a time when you look at this young Nats team, they're trying to rebuild. They're trying to do something special. I think what you when you look what Butera did today, they did something special. They worked accordingly. They used the pitches. Like you said, no time did you ever come to the plate. Did you face the same pitcher? They used that credibly, having the off day tomorrow, and they just did a really good job. A good game for the Nationals. The Brewers just couldn't get anything going today.
Yeah, they had a couple of good opportunities. They had two on and one out in the second that failed to score any runs. They had two on and nobody out and played small ball with sack bunt, sack fly, ground out. And that was it. I mean, they had the opportunity in the ninth as well. But again, like we talk about, when you score a run on a ground out, it doesn't feel like a true opportunity. But the Brewers fall in this one. It's a season series win for the Nats. The Brewers are trying to go for the split with the sweep today. But let's try to get a little happier here because Logan Henderson was certainly brilliant. We'll talk about him a little bit more in a moment. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us. We're on a sleepy Sunday as the Brewers fall 3-2 to the Nationals. A couple of texts. This one from Doug. Logan Henderson did his job. The offense certainly didn't. Will be a breath of fresh air if Cheerio is back for the Red Hot Cards. They look for real. We'll talk about them later in the show. From Mark, the Brewers let the Nationals win all three in Milwaukee. Too bad they could not return the favor in D.C. Alex and Oshkosh, frustrating loss. Four hits, not quite enough. Got to get more than four if you're going to get wins. But Logan Henderson was brilliant today. He retired the first 12 batters he faced in this game. He went six innings, three hits, two runs both earned. No walks, which I think is the highlighted stat from today's game, and eight strikeouts on only 76 pitches. Now, you may be wondering, why did he only go 76 pitches? He could have gone longer. The Brewers are slowly building him back up. He hadn't gone past 70 pitches in the minor leagues yet this season. Remember, he had elbow trouble at the end of last season. He had a little elbow flare-up in the beginning of spring training this year, which delayed him slightly. So they're being cautious with his pitch count, with his pitch totals. And nonetheless, Augie, he took advantage of a very aggressive Nationals team and continued to fill up the strike zone. What impressed you most about Logan today?
I'll tell you what, the ability to throw strikes and locate the ball. He was challenging. He used his off-speed stuff when he needed to. He located very well. Anytime you throw 76 pitches, just 20 balls out of the 76 pitches in six innings, you walk no one, you strike out eight, you've really accomplished a lot. And what I really liked about him, he was aggressive. Restarting off, like you said, returning the first 12 in a row, was just dominant. And, you know, you look at see where he was going to be able to adapt after spring training. He threw, was throwing the ball very well. He's been throwing the ball very well in Triple A. But he came out, and right from the first pitch on, he was really going to turn the game into his style of ball game, and he was dominant. Nothing you could say about it. Anytime you throw that many pitches in six innings, you have eight strikeouts, that means you're being really efficient. I thought his efficiency with everything that he threw, credibly being able to command all his pitches and do what he wanted to do against this young Nat team that's aggressive, I thought he did exactly what he had to do, and he pitched a great ball game.
When you look at what makes me so excited about Logan in today's game, not only did he not walk a batter, he didn't even have a three-ball count in today's game. I mean, it was truly understanding his strike zone, understanding what's working for him. He's only the third traditional starter for the Brewers this year to have a walk-free outing, and he's the only one to complete six innings. The other ones are Jacob Mizrowski against the Blue Jays, Brandon Woodruff against the Rays in his first start of the year, and now Logan Harrison. What I'm most excited about with Logan is the fact that we are seeing improvement on the secondaries. We know the changeup's dynamic. We know it's his best secondary pitch, but he didn't rely on it today. I thought William did a very nice job calling pitches for him today, force feeding that slider. It's kind of slurvy. It's got a little more vert than you'd expect, you know, more north-south movement than you'd expect from a slider. But the cutter, just to get them off the scent of the heater. And again, it doesn't need to be the nastiest slider or cutter on the planet, but for him to have two, you know, let's just call them league average secondary pitches, to go with an elite to above average changeup, to go with an elite to above average fastball, that's what's going to make him a dynamic starting pitcher as long as his arm holds up in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I liked the way he was, but I like to, I, you know, Dom, I really liked the way he was aggressive with the fastball. He located both in and out, up and down when he had to. But like you said, you know, his second best pitch, you would say, would be his changeup. He likes to go to that changeup as a secondary pitches. But what he was able to do, and I thought Contreras did a great job, he was able to show it. I think when you have a great pitch like that and you can show it and you can throw it for a strike consistently, you already put, they already know what your strengths are. They know that you have that good changeup. But to show it and be able to go to the other pitches, and I agree with you. I thought his breaking ball was excellent today. He was able to locate it, change speeds a little bit with it at times. But I'll tell you, being able to command a pitch and keep it in a good part of his strike zone when you have two good pitches with his fastball and his changeup, and being able to take that third pitch and locate it where you want. Yeah, was it a little bit bigger than a slider? Yeah, sometimes you can call it a slurve or whatever you want to call it, but he located it very well. Having that third pitch that you can locate very well is so important. And I thought today that was one of his keys. He was locating that pitch.
Yeah, you look at it in total today. The slider and the cutter combined, he threw 21 of them today. 15 of them were strikes. He even got two swings and misses on the slider today. And again, those are his third and fourth best offerings today. And he's throwing it for a strike a little over 70% of the time. That's great news for somebody like him who throws a lot of fastballs, who fills up the strike zone, that has to have something to get off of their scent. He's not necessarily relying on whiffs, but when he's able to get guys uncomfortable with this rising fastball, have to stay down on the changeup, now all of a sudden, if I'm a lefty and I got a cutter coming in on my hands to break my bat, it's an uncomfortable at bat. Now, he certainly regrets not being able to cover first base when he slipped and fell on C.J. Abrams' infield single to be the first base runner against him in the fifth inning. And the rest of that frame, just he was not himself. He threw 26 pitches in the inning. Yes, he gave up the single and the stolen base to Abrams, but he rebounded to strike out Dalen Lyle. And he was ahead of 0-2 on both Nunez and Tana before ultimately getting the RBIs that were the difference in this game for the Nats. He even said in his post-game presser, it's just, man, I just can't believe I slipped, because he wanted to get over. Mistakes happen. That just shows how small the margins really are in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you're going to make a play. It was just an unfortunate thing, and it does change. People don't say, well, I slipped, I can make the adjustments, but sometimes you slip and then you try to overmake your adjustment. And it looked like right then when you said he wasn't quite the same, that's, I think you get in a situation where he's thrown the ball so well, he's comfortable, he's nice and relaxed. His sequences were really good today. I thought Contreras behind the plate did an excellent job of calling the game. But sometimes when something goes a little awkward for you, you try to overcompensate. And that's one thing that's so hard for a pitcher, is not to get out of your where you are, where your strengths are, having those good sequences, relax, make the pitches where you have to. And I think he got out of sorts a little bit there, trying to make too many fine pitches, and Nunez and Tenya did a nice job of putting the ball in play. So he pitched the ball well, though. You can't, when you go pitch like he did today, I would take 6 innings, 3 hits, and 2 runs for him every time out. I think we Brewers would be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, this was not Logan Henderson's fault in the slightest. He goes 6 innings, quality start, only allowing 2 runs. You're supposed to win that game, especially against an offense that's top 5 in baseball in total runs scored. The Brewers pitching staff really did their job all weekend long against the Nats. Let's find some silver linings, find some things to really be excited about as the Brewers head to St. Louis for another divisional matchup. It's only their second divisional matchup so far of the season. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Do a little buy or sell here. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Brewers fall 3-2 today to the Nationals. Buying or selling is brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. You know, one of the things that I'm buying about the Brewers right now is just simply their pitching staff. I'm just saying this as a whole, because you look at these last few performances for the Brewers, right? Kyle Harrison, a quality start yesterday. Miz was a no-hitter into the sixth inning before his cramp sidelined him in that contest. Even you go back to the midweek series against the Diamondbacks, as weird as those games were, Wednesday, Shane Drouin coming in, or I should say on Tuesday, Shane Drouin having to come in on Thursday. I'm getting all my days mixed up. Even somebody like on the opener Chad Pastrick, who's now going to pitch tomorrow, dealing with, you know, dotted vision and having a stomach ache. And it's just the Brewers rotation, like the floor is so high right now for the Brewers starting rotation, despite being as young as it is and despite having Brandon Woodruff go to the IL.
Yeah, up and down the starting staff, they've done so well. They pick each other up. They command the strike zone. You gotta like the way to each other, how they go out there, and they understand what they have to do. They got to pitch the sequences. They got to pitch ahead. They got to locate the ball. You can't be any happier than anything but this starting staff, and it goes beyond what they have in the major leagues right now. Yeah, they do have some injuries. They have some guys that are not right there. Priester isn't right there yet, and Woody's out, and you got these changes that they have to make. But it's the pitching staff of this organization that's done a good job. But it's not only the starters. It's the guys they bring in. Drouin pitched great the other night. He's a guy that could do a lot of versatility things for you. So it's just pitching staff. One thing we've said since the beginning of the year, and we have stayed with, and we had said it all last year, we thought the Brewers had the best pitching staff all around than anybody in baseball. And this year, with the young staff and the changes that they've had to make, they've done that, and they do the right things. They throw strikes, and they do the things that they have to do. It's the big plus. It's the big positive thing about this ball club now. It all starts with pitching, and it starts with starting pitching, which are getting great starting pitching, and this bullpen. This bullpen is not just three guys that they have to use every day. It's been everybody in that bullpen that stepped in and done a nice job.
And they got a key breather this weekend, too, given the length they got out of Ashby on Friday, only needing Uribe and McGill in yesterday's game. The next off day isn't until Thursday, so I thought that was very important for the Brewers to get some length out of their starters, like we've been talking about in the first month of the season. Give it some time, and let it turn over to give these guys the length to say it'll get better for the bullpen. Right now, though, the thing that this offense and the sell portion of this, man, they need the reinforcements. They just need these guys back, and we'll find out tomorrow more about Jackson Churio. X-rays were negative, but you still hold your breath on something like that, given X-rays were negative for his hand, you know, back in March when we first got into this whole mess not having Jackson Churio. In case you missed it, Churio hit a ball off of his leg, a foul ball, in yesterday's rehab game for AAA Nashville. He exited the game. He finished the at-bat, then exited the game. X-rays, again, were negative. It just missed his shin guard. We'll see if he needs another couple of days or not to make sure that this ankle is okay. There's no sense in rushing it. But it does sound like Andrew Vaughn is coming back tomorrow, which will be great, great, great news for the Brewers.
Yeah, it is. Anytime you can get any of those guys, you take your home run hitters out of your lineup, it's going to make a big difference. And we see the difference that it has with the Brewers ball club, with being able to drive the ball at a ballpark. And, you take today's game. So many times, Don, we've been talking about Ortiz and having some good days at bat. I thought today he had great at-bats. Too bad the wind's blowing in. That ball would have been probably out of the ballpark, and the other ball he hit hard. So, you're looking at things where guys continually work at improving and trying to help this ball club in any way they can, and they are doing that. It's not Ortiz just struggling, but he's trying, and today he had some good at-bats, and of course Lockridge with the two hits had a good day swinging the bat. So you get the real power of the order back. It changes the lineup. It changes the way the pitchers approach you. It changes the way you're being approached and what you can do to help this ball club. So the next week, couple weeks are going to be really interesting, especially if Churio can come back right away. He's not injured bad. I tell you, get those two guys, him and Vaughn, in the lineup. That's going to mean a lot.
It's getting closer and closer to look how it's supposed to look, and yet the Brewers are still more than treading water. They're at 18-15. They're in the best division in baseball right now by records, and they finally get a divisional matchup with the Cardinals, which will be very fun to watch. Augie, appreciate you as always this weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to St. Louis. We're back inside the division. It's always fun in the division. And the way this Cardinal team is playing right now, I think these three games are going to be a lot of fun to watch. We're going to see where they are and our team having the ability of getting some health back. And it's going to be a fun three-game series.
Well, let's talk about why the Cardinals are doing so hot. We'll preview that series coming up next. Appreciate you, Augie.
Anytime. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Back with more after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall today 3-2 to the Nationals. I'm Dom Petronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. 1620. We'll talk about the Cardinals here in this segment in just a moment. We'll hear from Murph a little bit later on as well. A couple of texts here. This one from Mark. Hopefully Terang has a short-lived illness and back relatively soon, and also to take advantage of some scoring possibilities and get better with runners in scoring position. Yeah, it's, this whole weekend was really weird with runners in scoring position for the Brewers, where they gave themselves a million opportunities with runners in scoring position, but did really nothing with it. This weekend, they had 40 plate appearances with runners in scoring position, and they went just 6 for 32. One extra base hit, a double, 6 walks, 9 strikeouts, 10 runs batted in, a sack bunt, and a sack fly. Just a weird weekend against the Nats when it comes to runners in scoring position. That needs to improve moving forward, especially against the Cardinals. Another text from the 715. Do you think Murph is going to let Sanchez be so challenge-happy at the plate, especially the first three innings? He challenges ball and strikes that are not imperative to the game situation and wastes them that they could have used later on in the innings. Now, that didn't happen in today's game, but it did happen yesterday behind the plate. This has been brought up to Gary and to the rest of the team, for that matter, that the Brewers' strategy with ABS is just kind of all over the place where, you know, this is me talking, not the Brewers talking. Remember in spring training when we talked about that green card method where they were literally having a little card outside their dugout, then Major League Baseball said, hey, that's against the spirit of the rule. A green card saying, like, hey, this is a good time to challenge, and a red card saying, you're not allowed to challenge right now. Well, the Brewers have a different scoring system for all of that stuff when it comes to, you know, a 5 means a great time to challenge right now. It's a 5 situation, right? Like runners on second and third and, you know, 2 outs and a at-bat changing count. Like, yeah, but even if you're wrong, it's a good time to challenge. But Gary, as a batter, leads baseball the most total challenges. Not saying he's correct, just the most total challenges in baseball as a batter. He's got 14 of them. But the Brewers, as a team, have the lowest success rate in baseball, which I think is fascinating. As an offense. So I wonder if it needs to be a whole new ideology. Some of it has to do with, you know, eating a strike where, like you're talking about, on a 1-1 count with nobody on and 2 outs, it's not the time to challenge. On a, you know, borderline pitch with the bases loaded and 2 outs in the 7th, yeah, challenge. Even if you're wrong, that's a good time to do it. Another thing I'll hear about the Cardinals, though, this will be our Who's Hot, Who's Not, brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. The hot is the Cardinals. Now, they just won the series against LA, but they dropped the finale today 4-1. I don't know if you've noticed what Jordan Walker's been up to for his start to this season. He's in the top 5 in baseball and homers. He's got 10 of them, part of a big crowd at 10 home runs so far this season. Alec Burleson's been off to a great start. He's got 28 runs batted in, including 9 doubles for him. A rookie of the year candidate in J.J. Weatherholt has been off to a great start. He's got 27 runs scored. Yes, he's hitting .238, but an OPS that's flirting with 800 with 7 homers as a rookie is very, very impressive for Weatherholt. The big thing about St. Louis is they can hit. They can really hit. They've been off to a great start letting the young kids play and letting them do their thing, like Weatherholt, like Burleson. Mason Wynn was injured for a little bit, but he's back and healthy again now. But Jordan Walker finally clicking into what he's capable of has been very scary to watch. He's a homegrown pick, and really this entire lineup is a homegrown pick from the Cardinals, dare I say, getting back to their Cardinal way. But the cold part of the Cardinals is really their entire pitching staff, and their bullpen was used a lot this weekend against the Dodgers, so hopefully the Brewers can use that to their advantage. Riley O'Brien's their closer right now. He's got 2 saves in the last 5 days. Jojo Romero's pitched in 3 of the last 5. Also, Ryan Stanek has pitched in 3 of the last 5. So the Brewers, in a close game, they may have the edge when it comes to a gassed bullpen right now for St. Louis. And their starting rotation, St. Louis's, ranks dead last in strikeouts per 9 in Major League Baseball. That's Who's Hot, Who's Cold, brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With Wisconsin's weather all over the map, now's the time to get ahead of the heat with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Save $50 on maintenance plans through May 15th. Or get $25 off AC tune-ups all month long. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment today at Cider, SEIDER.com. Nothing crazy in the highlight department, but there were a few moments in this one. We'll play those next. Murph, a little bit later on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall today 3-2. Not many highlights to play because, well, both runs scored on outs. The first one was Joey Ortiz. Man, he needed this one over the wall.
And Ortiz, a high fly ball, deep center field. Young retreating onto the warning track, jumps up and makes the catch. Tagging at third is Lockridge. He's down the line. He'll score. A long fly ball off the bat of Joey Ortiz. A sack fly, and the Brewers lead it 1-0. One of the hardest hit balls and probably traveled about as far as any ball that has left Joey's bat this year. He hit it at 103 to one of the deepest parts of the park. And the Brewers have gotten Lockridge in, and it's a 1-0 lead now for Logan Henderson.
Wind was blowing straight in today at Nats Park, and you know, you could tell the shot of Joey rounding first base was just kind of like, oh, come on, man. He's still waiting on that first extra base hit of the season for Ortiz. I think this is where the human part comes in, the human element of this game comes in, where it's just, it feels heavier and heavier every day that you make loud contact. And I know he got a sack fly. I know he got the run scored. That you're not finally getting a ball finding grass, that you're not able to get things going in the right direction like the Brewers want him to, and he wants to. And again, as the mental, as the dude that's going through, well, they just gave the extension to Cooper Pratt. Oh, they acquired another middle infielder type in Jet Williams. How much longer am I going to stay in the big leagues? That wears on a guy, and I feel for Joey right now, but at least he came through with that sacrifice fly, hit the ball hard. He did his job in that at-bat. And the only other run for the Brewers nearly could have been chaos in the ninth. On a fielder's choice with runners on second and third, the Brewers had a chance to, you know, with the infield in, to make something crazy happen if Garrett beats this ball out.
Lefty-lefty matchup here. The 1-1 pitch to Mitchell. Chopper on the right side. This could be a tough play. Nunez charging. Fields throws to first in time. The run scores from third. The Brewers make it a 3-2 ball game.
That would be the final score in this one. And it was funny. Yesterday, Blake Butera, manager of the Nationals, you know, was very blunt with the media saying, hey, we can't lead the league in errors and expect to win. And well, look at it today, an error-free game for the Nats. Heck, three of the four runs the Brewers scored yesterday were unearned because of a key error at third base by Brady House. And they played flawless defense today, and they get the victory. That should be no surprise, especially given the Brewers only struck out six times today. You know, the ball was in play a lot, and they forced the Nats to make the plays, and they did so on a windy day at Nats Park. So the final lines in this one, the Nationals with three runs on just seven hits, no errors. They left four on base. The Brewers had two runs on four hits, no errors. They left four on base, going 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. A tidy 2 hours and 18 minutes at Nats Park. The winner is Zach Littell. The loser is Logan Henderson, and a save to Richard Lovelady. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. That's coming up next on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
It's a loss. Pat Murphy still found some quality stuff to talk about with Logan Henderson today. 3-2, the final score to the Nats. It's on to St. Louis. We'll preview that in the final segment as well. But here's the manager, Pat Murphy.
Yeah, really positive stuff, man. He was fantastic. He's been fantastic in AAA. You know, he gave up a couple runs when he was up here the first time, and a ball that touched the foul line, and kind of some unlucky breaks there when his first time he pitched. But he was magnificent today. Deserved better. You know, he fell down covering first base, and that led to a run. Other than that, he was pretty special.
Murphy is really efficient the first four innings. What do you think allowed him to be that efficient?
Well, he was efficient in the fifth, in the sixth too. You just you're talking about the run that was scored, but the thing was is he fell down covering first. If you're watching the game, so then that's a run. That kid gets ahead. He steals a base. He got preoccupied and gave up a long fly ball that was a triple. But other than that, he was efficient all day. He was great for six innings.
How's Bryce doing? I know that was.
He couldn't play today. He was sick.
Do you have any kind of feel as to whether he'll be okay tomorrow, or is that kind of a wait and see thing?
Yeah, I think it's wait and see. You know, we were bad offensively all day. We had opportunities in second and third, and didn't get it done. And we weren't efficient.
I know the long ball isn't necessarily your game, but when you're facing a pitcher like Littell, who is known for giving up homers. Does it kind of hurt when you're not able to maximize that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, every pitcher gives up homers. Every starting pitcher that doesn't throw 98 gives up homers. And if you're around long enough, you'll see all starting pitchers give up more homers. They pitch more innings. Littell hasn't been on as sharp as he's normally been. Well, I've seen him be. But, yeah, when you have four of your top five hitters out, you're not going to hit a lot of homers. The guys we have out are all, you know, some of our best home run hitters. So, Yelich, Churio, Vaughn, Terang. You take the four top home run hitters off any team, you're probably not going to hit a lot of homers necessarily that particular day. The wind was blowing in, by the way, too. So, in and across, not going to be a lot of homers hit today.
Is Joey's ball one of those?
Yeah, Joey's was a homer in any other day, but
yeah.
Not today.
Kind of unlucky.
He was unlucky today. I mean, he had another line drive that would have been in the gap if it knocked down by the wind. And Joey had a good offensive day of anybody.
Yeah, for just one RBI, I agree. Thought Joey was just a little off. All right, let's give you the starting pitching matchups this week in St. Louis as the Brewers continue this road trip. 3 in the Lou. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last minute or so of the show here because, well, not much happened in this game. So it's on to the next one. Cardinals are the next opponent for the Brewers tomorrow. That'll be a 6:45 first pitch Central Time. Chad Patrick pushed back a day, give him an extra day of rest. He gets the start tomorrow against Kyle Lahey. Again, 6:45 first pitch. We're on the air at 6:10 with the on-deck show built by Menards. Same time on Tuesday as well against the Redbirds. That game will feature Brandon Sproat and Andre Pallante. Now, Tuesday would have been the spot for Brandon Woodruff's start. They decide to push everybody back, call up Logan Henderson for today. And then Wednesday is currently a TBD. That could be Jacob Mizorowski. The Brewers are deciding after the cramp on Friday, making sure he's okay. Today was a throw day. Yesterday was a run day. Seems like everything's A-okay. But if they do push him back, they would have to make another move, given Thursday is an off day. I would expect Miz there, and I think he especially wants to pitch, given he's back, you know, in the central Midwest where he grew up in Kansas City. He's going to have a lot of friends and family driving over to see him pitch in St. Louis. He'll be up against the left-hander Matthew Liberatore. Again, that is on Wednesday. The finale of that series is scheduled for 12:15 Central Time. Would highly recommend you check out this week's Brewers Weekly. Scroll back in your podcast feed, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods. We sat down with Blake Burke, top 20 prospect in the Brewers organization. That's going to do it for our program here tonight. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.